Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. You know, we love diving into the latest weather news, and this time we're looking at something pretty controversial brewing in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're considering a law that would require storm chasers to be licensed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is this going to make chasing safer, or is it just going to create a bureaucratic nightmare? What do you think?
Well, that's what we're here to figure out, right?
Yeah.
I've been looking into this Oklahoma Senate Bill 158.
Okay.
It's officially called the Oklahoma Emergency Weather Response and Tracking Regulatory Act of 2025.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
It is, isn't it? And it has some really interesting details that I think we should break down. To help us do that, I've invited an expert in legal and policy issues surrounding weather phenomena.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So this bill, it lays out some specific requirements for storm chasers. Like, imagine getting your driver's license, but for severe weather.
Okay.
First, you'd need to pass a criminal background check.
Right. Makes sense.
You'd also need to show proof of insurance for your chase vehicle.
Yeah, things can get a little bumpy out there.
Yeah, definitely not a smooth ride. And here's where it gets interesting. You'd need a letter of endorsement from a chief meteorologist or a designated official.
Almost like an academic reference, but for tornadoes?
Exactly.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's a fee.
There's always a fee.
$500 up front for the license, and then $250 every year to renew it.
Okay, so who exactly are they targeting with this? Like, is this for everyone who chases a storm?
Well, Bill specifically defines a professional severe weather tracker.
Right.
As anyone who's paid by media outlets.
Okay.
Think your local news or folks working with university research programs.
So they're trying to separate the pros from the hobbyists.
Exactly. And Senator Mann, who introduced the bill, says it's all about safety.
Okay.
The goal is to get inexperienced chasers off the roads.
So less congestion, less danger.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
But Senator Mann also suggests licensed chasers could actually function as a kind of first responder network.
Interesting. So like providing real-time data observations during a severe weather event.
Exactly. They could even be allowed to use emergency lights.
Wow.
And access closed roads to get to hard-hit areas quickly.
Well, that's a pretty big responsibility. Yeah. But how would that even work in practice?
Right.
Like, during a chaotic event like a tornado, would a police officer really stop someone in the middle of a hailstorm to check their storm-chasing license?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question.
It does seem like enforcement could be tricky.
Yeah, and what about, you know, university researchers or experienced amateur chasers who are already out there collecting data?
Right. Would they need a license, too?
It feels like this could really restrict important scientific observation and research.
And then there's the whole bureaucracy of it.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned the fees, but what about the paperwork, the background checks?
Ugh.
The documentation? Could it become so overwhelming that people just say, forget it?
Yeah. Right. And then nobody's chasing storms.
Right.
These are all really good points. And it sounds like there are definitely two sides to this story.
Definitely.
And we're not the only ones with questions. Mike Morgan, the chief meteorologist over at KFOR.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah.
He's voiced his skepticism, too.
About?
Well, he's concerned about how they would even enforce this law and the impact it could have on experienced chasers who are already operating safely and responsibly.
So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Pretty much. He's advocating for more discussion and revisions before they actually pass this thing. And, you know, it's interesting. This bill popped up right after that movie, Twisters, hit theaters.
Oh, wow.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
It got everyone talking about storm chasing again.
Makes you wonder if the timing is just a coincidence or if they're worried about a bunch of inexperienced chasers hitting the roads, you know, fueled by all the Hollywood excitement.
Yeah, trying to find that balance, right?
Yeah.
How do you ensure safety without discouraging people who are genuinely passionate about studying severe weather?
Right, and contributing to scientific knowledge.
It's a tough question.
It is. Storm chasers, they provide such valuable data.
Yeah.
Often capturing footage that helps us understand these phenomena so much better.
Plus, they keep the public informed about dangerous weather.
Exactly. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know.
Definitely not. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors to continue this discussion. And don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram.
What's his handle?
At Meteorologist, on TikTok, at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find Meteorology Matters in the podcast playlist.
Perfect.
We'll be right back.
You know, it's fascinating to think about how storm chasing has changed over time.
Yeah, how so?
Well, it used to be this niche field, you know, almost like a secret society of researchers and adventurers. But technology has really changed
Oh,
everything.
absolutely. I mean, with today's advanced radar, smartphones, social media, it's like anyone can become a storm chaser.
Exactly. And as it becomes more accessible, it's only natural that we start to worry about safety more, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We've seen this pattern before. Like, think about seatbelt laws. It took time, public awareness, and eventually legislation to change behavior and make roads safer. This bill, it could be seen as a similar effort, you know?
Trying to regulate something that's becoming more popular and potentially dangerous.
Exactly.
All right, so let's say this bill actually becomes law in Oklahoma.
Okay.
What would getting a storm chasing license even look like? Like, what would the process be?
Well, according to the bill survey, Oklahoma would be in charge of this new program.
Service Oklahoma.
Yeah, the agency that handles all those different licenses and permits. So let's say you're an aspiring storm chaser. You've got your gear ready. You're passionate about whether you're ready for an adventure. What's the first step?
What is it?
You gather your documentation. You'll need proof of insurance, that letter of endorsement from a chief meteorologist, anything else Service Oklahoma requires, and then you submit your application, pay the non-refundable $500 fee, and wait.
And then what? The background check.
They want to make sure anyone operating in these intense, sometimes dangerous situations, you know, has a clean record.
Yeah, makes sense trying to mitigate the risk.
Exactly. Weed out anyone who might pose a threat or abuse the privileges that come with the license.
Okay, so you've passed the background check, paid your fees, dotted your I's, crossed your T's. You're officially a licensed storm chaser.
All right.
Now what?
Well, remember how we talked about license chasers potentially acting as emergency responders? This bill would actually give them the right to use emergency lights on their vehicles and even access roads that are closed due to severe weather.
Hold on. So they'd be driving around with flashing lights just like ambulances and police cars.
Yeah,
That seems pretty intense.
it is.
And what about accessing those closed roads? Isn't that dangerous?
Well, it's definitely a controversial aspect of the bill.
Yeah, I can see that.
On one hand, having those emergency lights being able to bypass those road closures could allow chasers to get closer to the storms, gather more data, potentially even help with rescue efforts or damage assessment.
I see that. Yeah, getting real-time information from someone right there in the middle of a tornado's path could be invaluable to first responders.
Right.
But it also just seems risky.
It's a delicate balance. On the other hand, does this just add more vehicles to an already chaotic situation?
Some with flashing lights.
Exactly. Could actually increase the risk for everyone.
So the big question is, do the benefits outweigh those risks?
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
It is a tough call. And even if a chaser's license has these privileges, they're still responsible for their own safety and the safety of others around them.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is. And some people argue that this bill just creates more bureaucracy
Yeah.
without actually addressing those core issues of safety and responsibility and storm tracing.
Right.
They think the focus should be on education training, promoting a culture of responsible chasing, rather than just focusing on licensing and regulation.
So instead of restricting access, they're saying we should teach people how to chase storms safely.
Exactly. How to read the weather, how to make smart decisions out in the field, because a license doesn't automatically equal good judgment. Even the most experienced chaser can make mistakes.
That's true.
This whole debate reminds us that chasing storms, even with the best intentions, the best qualifications, will always have risks.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up our look at this proposed storm chasing law, we should emphasize that there's a lot more to discuss.
Yeah, we've just scratched the surface here.
We've looked at the requirements, the potential benefits and drawbacks, the concerns of experienced meteorologists, the historical context of storm chasing, but there's still more to uncover. Stay tuned for the final part of our discussion, where we'll look into the financial side of this bill, explore those arguments for and against it, and leave you with some thought-provoking questions to consider. All right. We're back and ready to tackle the financial side of the storm chasing law. Remember those fees we talked about?
Yeah.
$500 for the initial license and then $250 each year to renew?
Right.
Well, that money, it doesn't just disappear into the state's general fund.
Oh, really?
It's actually earmarked for something specific.
Okay, what is it?
The bill calls it the Severe Weather Tracker Licensure Fund.
Okay.
And Service Oklahoma, the same agency that's handling the licensing fund, They would manage this fund.
So basically, the money collected from storm chasers would be used to cover the costs of running the program.
Exactly. Background checks, paperwork staff, all that fun stuff.
So in theory, it's a self-sustaining system.
Right. But is that really a legitimate way to fund a safety program?
Right. Or does it just feel like the state's trying to make some money off of storm chasing?
That's a good question. Some people are arguing that these fees are excessive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they could actually discourage people from applying, especially those who are new to chasing or just doing it as a hobby.
I see.
It's already an expensive hobby, right?
Yeah.
The equipment, the travel, the insurance.
Right.
Adding another $500 up front, plus those annual renewals, could be a real barrier for some people.
Yeah, that's a valid concern.
And then there's the issue of accountability.
Like, how do we know the money in this fund will actually be used properly?
Right. Will it be transparent?
Exactly.
Goes back to that balance between regulation and freedom.
We want to ensure safety, but we don't want to make it impossible for people to pursue their passion.
Especially those who are contributing valuable data to the scientific community.
Right.
So there's a strong argument on both sides.
Definitely.
Those who support the bill, they say the fees are necessary
Okay.
to make sure that the licensing program is actually effective and comprehensive. They believe the safety benefits outweigh the cost,
Right.
and they emphasize that having trained, qualified individuals in the field could actually reduce the risk of accidents and irresponsible behavior.
It's an investment in public safety.
Exactly. But then those who oppose the bill, they're skeptical.
Yeah.
They worry about the enforceability of these requirements, the potential for bureaucratic red tape, and the impact on experienced chasers who are already out there operating safely.
Right. They believe that education and training, not just regulation, are the keys to promoting responsible storm chasing.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's the question.
This bill is still in its early stages. It will be interesting to see how it evolves and what kind of impact it ultimately has on the world of storm chasing.
One thing's for sure, this whole debate has definitely started a conversation
About
about safety responsibility and the role of, citizen scientists in understanding severe weather.
really important stuff. So whether this particular bill passes or not, these discussions are important, and hopefully they'll lead to better practices and, increased awareness of just how complex storm chasing really is.
For sure.
Well, that brings us to the end of our look at Oklahoma's proposed storm chasing law. We explored a lot today, from the requirements and the fees to those potential benefits and drawbacks, and of course, the arguments on both sides.
Absolutely.
And we also touched on the history of storm chasing, the impact of technology, that balance between regulation and freedom.
It's fascinating stuff.
We always encourage you to think critically about what we discuss and, form your own opinions. Would you support this law? What other solutions do you think might address these safety concerns?
Great questions to think about.
And if you want to delve deeper into the world of weather, be sure to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find Meteorology Matters in the podcast playlist. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Meteorology Matters. Until next time, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your eyes on the skies.